Welcome and listen in to a radio station where the mighty hosts of heaven sing. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
If you want to feel those good vibrations coming from the joy that His love can bring, turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
This week's sermon is brought to you by Pastor Bob Huggins.
Welcome to our prayer list. Let us remember all our brothers and sisters in prayer today that are in pain physically, financially, and spiritually. We have a prayer request for Pastor Tony Evans, senior pastor at the Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship Church in Dallas, Texas. He needs special prayer for his wife, Lois Evans, as she battles a fiery trial with cancer. We have a prayer request for Rain. She's currently having some physical health problems. Also, the singer Van Mack and his family. Also, that the Lord gives a financial miracle to Anonymous. And also, this person's neck and shoulder discomfort to be healed. Pastor Robert Bankston and the Soaring Eagle Ministry. Scott Gilbert. Dwayne the Dog Chapman. Nona, who has a bad back and needs healing. Pam and Richard E., Mary E., Paul E., Bill E., Ron C., Emily B., Jan C., Patsy S., and let us keep Eric F.'s family in our prayers. Miriam B., John, Glenn F.'s family, he lost his battle with cancer. Debbie H., Scott S., Jack L., his MRI shows he has spinal stenosis. Judy, Mary Lynn F., and our service men and women here and abroad. Father God, we acknowledge our need for you today. I pray that you would breathe peace onto us through your Holy Spirit. Would you guide our hearts and guard them? Hold how we would love for you to show us your protection over our minds. I know we are weak on our own, and we fall back on your strength today. Be near to us, guiding us and equipping us as we go. Restore their energy and heal their wounds. In your mighty name we ask it. Amen. If you would like to have prayer for yourself or be added to our prayer list, please go to Pastor Sean Conlon's office /prayers. May God bless you. Thank you for tuning in to Christ is Our Victory. This is what happens in the unseen world when we fast and pray. The Bible speaks of a spiritual realm that takes prayer and fasting to conquer. Daniel knew it. Paul knew it. Jesus knew it. You must know it too. You have things in your life that will not come off with just a colossal prayer. You must fight through fasting in addition to your prayers. In this message, learn how your physical action through fasting moves God's hand in your favor. And now here's Pastor Jennison Franklin on what happens in the unseen world when we fast and pray.
I believe God is going to do something that's going to revolutionize your life. So I want to talk to you today on this subject. What happens in the unseen world when you fast and when you pray? What happens in the unseen world when you fast and when you pray? I want to first tell you a quick story from the book of Exodus, the 17th chapter, because it has a profound lesson to teach us today about fasting, indirectly. It's the story of Moses and the Amalekites, Moses and the children of Israel fighting the Amalekites, and God told him to go up on the mountain and lift his hands toward heaven. He said in Exodus 17 and verse 11, lift your hands, Moses. God commanded him to. And as long as he had his hands in a physical posture raised toward heaven in obedience to what God told him to do with a physical command and place a posture, the way what he did with his body, as long as he had physical obedience, he was winning the battle in the unseen world because of his physical obedience. This story is important because it reinforces the fact that physical obedience, listen, brings spiritual release. You can say, well, if God's going to win the battle, he'll just win the battle. But in this story, God said, what you do with your physical body, Moses, determines whether or not this particular battle is going to be won. Because physical obedience brings spiritual release. That's why this story is so important, that somehow there is a connection between what we do physically and what happens spiritually. What we do here with our physical bodies makes a difference of what happens in the unseen world. Angels were released into that battle when he raised his hands physically. If his hands started coming down, because God told him to do it. And if his hands started coming down, then the angels would withdraw and the enemy would begin to defeat. Hebrews chapter 1 says that angels are sent out to render services on behalf of those who inherit salvation. It says the angels of God are spirits that are sent as flames of fire. It says it in that same chapter later, in that same chapter. There, he'll make his ministers flames of fire. He mentions that there is breath, there is wind, this wind and fire. That's what angels are like. And he said, I'll release those angels and they will be dispatched into the situation. So get it now. Here's the point. Hands are raised. And as long as Moses obeys what God tells him to do with a physical act, the battle is won because of what he's doing physically with his body. If his hands go down, then he begins to lose the battle. You see, the Bible said, lift up your hands without wrath or doubting. The word wrath means don't get mad about the instruction God's giving you to do something physically. Do it without wrath, and then do it without doubting. Doubting means don't question, what good does it do? Don't question when God tells you to do something physically. If he said, lift your hands, don't stand there arguing with God saying, I don't have to do that. No, the truth is physical obedience brings spiritual release every time. In the modern church, we have reduced everything down to feelings and intellect and not to any physical actions. I feel like I'm humble, so I never have to get on my knees and bow before the Lord. I feel like I love the Lord and I worship him on the inside, and I don't have to clap my hands. I don't have to raise my hands. I don't have to stand to my feet and worship God physically with my body. God knows my heart. I feel faith, so I don't have to risk anything. I have faith in my heart. Everything gets reduced down in the modern day church to internal stuff, and there is no outward manifestation. But if you tell your wife or your husband, I love you on the inside, but you never show it on the outside, they're going to question you. And God says, sometimes I demand of my people a physical act of obedience before I release spiritual reward. And fasting is one of those acts of obedience. There are times when God requires of all of us a physical action. A physical action. Why? Because there's a connection between the physical action here and the spiritual power that is released there. Moses with his hands up, as long as his hands are up, Israel wins. Physical obedience releases spiritual power, favor, help, protection, healing, miracles, blessing. I want you to understand that it's foolish to worship angels, no doubt about it. We don't go around in, you know, amazed and looking for weird angels. It's foolish to worship angels. The Bible's clear on that, but it's equally foolish to ignore them. They're in this book, therefore they are real. And when you begin to fast and pray, you release God's supernatural power and forces of heaven. I'm going to show you this right out of the Bible in just a moment. I want you to think with me for just a moment. Some people always worried, you know, I hear this little saying, higher levels, higher devils. And that's a good saying, and I get it, you know, that the higher you go up in God, the more the devil fights you. But it's almost, that statement almost glorifies the devil to me. Higher levels, higher devil. It almost says, I don't want to go too high, because then the devil will know who I am and really attack me. Let me help you with that. He already knows who you are. And who is protected more on a battlefield? A private, a new enlisted soldier, or a five-star general? Who has more soldiers around him protecting him, the private or the general? The truth is, listen to this, higher level, higher angelic protection, higher angelic participation in the assignment God has given you. The greater God trusts you with greater assignments, the greater he's like Elisha when his servant went out and said, "Oh my God, the Assyrians are surrounding us. What are we going to do, prophet?" He said, "Just relax." Lord opened his eyes and he looked out, and when he looked again, he saw chariots of horses and fire surrounding them, because the higher the call on your life and assignment, the higher the divine protection of God around you and your family. Don't be afraid to dream big, to ask big, to believe big. I'm not going to back down because I'm scared the devil will fight me more if we keep doing more. We've just begun, and we're going to higher levels, and we're going to have more angelic protection. Clap your hands and praise God if you believe it. Daniel chapter 10, I'll begin reading with verse 2. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, no meat, no wine came in my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Verse 10, suddenly, while I was fasting, while I was eating vegetables, while I was seeking God, while I was praying, I made a vow, I told God. And if you read Daniel chapter 1, he goes into detail of what he ate. He said, "I ate vegetables and water, and I abstained from pleasant food." He said, while I was in this 3-week time, an angel came. Verse 10, suddenly a hand touched me that made me tremble on my knees and on the palm of my hands. And he said, everybody say these next words, "O Daniel, man greatly beloved." Understand the words I speak to you. This is an angel talking to him. And notice he said, "I come," and this is how God feels about you. "O Daniel, man greatly beloved. Understand the words I speak to you. Stand upright, for I have been sent to you." While he was speaking the word to me, I started to tremble. Verse 3, he said, "I ate no pleasant bread." Listen carefully. The word "pleasant" there is desirable. I ate no pleasant or desirable bread. In other words, my translation of that is I became a vegetarian. He said, I ate no desirable, no pleasant food. Now watch this. Oh, what's interesting is when Daniel 10 and verse 11 says, oh, Daniel, man greatly beloved. The word greatly beloved is the same word described desirable. Oh, Daniel, greatly desired. I ate no desirable bread. God's response was, oh, Daniel, you are greatly desired by me. I ate no desirable food. I became a man greatly desired by God during this 21 days. There's a difference, folks, between God's love and God's favor. God's love is 100% full on 7 days a week. 24 hours a day, there's nothing you can do that can make him love you more. There's nothing you can do that can make him love you less. You don't earn it. You can never deserve it. His love is full. His love is free. And God loves you. There is a difference between God's love and God's favor. Favor is different because it is initially given to us as a gift. And its increase in our life is dependent upon our stewardship of what we do to gain God's favor. The love of God is absolutely full and free. It's perfect love, and it's full, and it's yours. But the favor of God does not come in its fullness on your life until you do certain things that gets God's attention. You can't buy God's favor, but you do not get more of God's favor without sacrifice. The increase of favor comes from obedience and sacrifice. Daniel's story is a story of favor. It's a picture of unusual increase of favor. That's my story. I shouldn't be the pastor of this church. I'm certainly not qualified. If you look at my walls, you see no degrees. I am a flawed man. But when I was just a kid, even though I was born into a great home, my mother and father were godly people, are godly people. My mom's still alive. But at an early age, something got a hold of my heart, and I realized that I can't live off daddy's relationship with God, and I can't live off mom's relationship with God. I have got to find God's plan for my life. And I began as a teenager pushing away desirable food, pushing away that which was desirable. First a day, and then 3-day fast, and then 7-day fast, and then 21-day fast. I would drive down to the beach in North Carolina and get me a hotel as a young man and shut myself in and stay for 3 and 4 days at a time and just be in that room and read the Bible, not watch TV, and consume the Word of God. And while I did that somewhere, I don't know, I went on a 21-day fast and another one, and God began to move in my life. And somewhere in that process, God said spiritually over me, you have become greatly desirable to me because you gave up that which is desirable. That's why I'm here today. That's why I'm preaching to you today. I'm just a country boy from North Carolina. I'm not qualified to be and go all over the world and do what I do and speak to people that I speak to, people who are so powerful. But God says, when you win my favor, when you do things, there's something about you doing a physical act of obedience that brings spiritual release of favor and blessing. Look out, miracles will come, favor
favor will come. Blessing will come. God will raise you up. It's less of you and more of Him. And you know when you get there, to God be the glory. To God be the glory. Clap your hands and praise Him if you know I'm preaching the truth today. Oh, I feel like praising Him just a moment. The presence of God is coming in this room. Lift up your voice and praise Him at every campus.
Oh God, wouldn't you love to hear God say that over you? Instead of saying, oh Daniel, oh Jacob, oh Cherise, oh Brock, oh Tim, oh Jensen, you have become extremely desirable to me, even greater than that, oh Courtney, oh Carissa, oh Caroline, oh Connor, oh Drake, oh Amelia, oh Luca. I got two more in the ovens. Whatever their names are going to be. You have become greatly desirable to me because you had a granddaddy and a grandmother who would fast for 21 days, and this family has found favor. I'm greatly desirable of this family. Hallelujah. He said, Daniel, man greatly beloved, understands the words that I speak to you. Stand upright, for I have been sent to you. Do not fear, Daniel. Listen, from the first day you set your heart to understand and humble yourself before God, your words were heard. I have come because of your words. Listen now, the angel's talking. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. There was a principality over Persia, which is Iran, and this strong demon power withstood me, the angel said, for 21 days. But because you kept fasting and praying, Michael, one of the chief princes, Michael, came to help me. There are three major angels, Gabriel, Michael, and Lucifer. Lucifer failed. Gabriel brings messages, but Michael is the warring angel, and he was sent as reinforcements to break through the enemy's resistance. Now, let me explain something to you. There is no battle between God and Satan. God's not warring with the devil. God said, if I by the finger of God cast Satan out, all God's got to do is flip his finger. He gave the devil the finger and cast him out of heaven. There's not like this big battle. There is no war between God and Satan. But listen, everything was created for a purpose. There is a war between the angelic forces and demonic forces, and you and I get to vote who wins. That's what this story teaches. That there are angels and demons that are battling, and angels have the answer to prayer, and they're battling, and you and I, what we do physically can release spiritual power to those angels. We vote in the battle of the heavenlies. Now let me close with this thought. In that story in Mark chapter 17, when the disciples said, why could we not cast this devil out? Jesus gave two reasons. He said, you have unbelief and you are a perverse generation. In other words, he was saying to his own disciples, because that's who asked him. Number one, if you have unbelief, you have disconnected from God. You have disconnected from the word. You have disconnected from praise and worship. You have disconnected from church. You have disconnected from my presence. You have disconnected from hungering for me. And when you disconnect from God, unbelief begins to take over. You're not faith-filled. Unbelief begins to take over your life. Fear, anxiety, hopelessness, despair. And he said, first of all, your unbelief, you're disconnected from God. Now watch this, and you're perverse. It comes from the word pervert. In other words, he's saying, you're not connected to God, and on top of that, you're too connected to the world. But let me tell you how you fix that. This kind comes by Fasting and prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is connecting to God, connecting back to God. Fasting is disconnecting from the world, disconnecting from the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. I don't care who you are. I am your pastor. I am your preacher. I do this full time, and I constantly have to go back and align myself and say, God, help me, because I'm disconnecting from you and I'm connecting to the world. And that's why I love this season, when we get real, when we get honest, when we get to this place where we feel like we're disconnected from God, we're too connected to the world. In comes fasting, and it disconnects us from the world. And in comes prayer, it reconnects us to God. And suddenly we have dominion and power over the enemy and a fresh anointing, and we obtain the favor of God again on our lives. Somebody give him a great shout of praise. Don't you want that? Say this: if I give up desirable food, I'll become very desirable to God the next 21 days. That's not a boastful statement. That's not an arrogant statement. But the fact that God can say over me, and all he did was gave up meat and bread and sugar and ate vegetables. And God said, oh, Daniel, you are greatly desirable to me, because you're doing something physical that brings spiritual release in heaven.
A long black train coming down the line, feeding off the souls that are lost and crying. Rails of sin, only evil remains. Watch out, brother, for that long black train. Look to the heavens, look to the skies. You can find redemption staring back into your eyes. There is protection and there's peace the same. Burn in your ticket for that long black train. 'Cause there's victory in the Lord, I say. Victory. But you know there's victory in the Lord, I say. Victory in the Lord. Cling to the Father and His holy name. And don't go riding on that long black train. From a mile away, it sounds so good, but I must stay away. And That train is a beauty, making everybody stare. But its only destination is the middle of nowhere. But you know there's victory in the Lord, I say. Victory in the Lord. Cling to the Father and His holy name. And don't go riding on that long black train. I said cling to the Father and His holy name. And don't go riding on that long black train. Yeah, watch out, brother, for that long black train. That devil's driving that long black train.
There are days of taking more than I can give. And there are choices that I made that I wouldn't make again.
My parents had planned an intervention for me. And my family, now they're telling me that I'm hurting them. That started a turning point.
I had my share of laughter, of tears and troubled times. This has been the story of my life. I've won, and I've lost. I got it right sometimes, but sometimes I did not.
All of the lies that I had been speaking over myself and all of the pain from my past replaced with who I am in Christ.
Life's been a journey. I've seen joy, I've seen regret. Oh, and you have been my God through all of it.
This particular pastor called and he says, we've gotten these two young men who broke into a bunch of cars. We just need you to come and pick them up.
You were there when it all came down.
Two young men conspired to kill me, throw me out in the woods somewhere, and take off with my car and run. So I jumped on the hood, put my gun right up against the glass, and said, don't do it. It took off with me on the hood of the car. When I jumped off of the hood, I hit the back of my head, which immediately busted both my inner ears.
In those unclear moments, you were the one keeping me strong. This is how my story's always gone. I won.
I had severe vertigo. Panic attacks, PTSD.
I got it right sometimes, but sometimes I did not.
Everything that I had ever taken pride in, my strength, my abilities, all of that was gone.
Life's been a journey. I've seen joy, I've seen regret. Oh, and you have been my God through all of it.
It was a really, really rough labor. He had a 9x6 centimeter cyst in the center of his brain. His head was extra large. We don't know if he'll talk. We don't know if he'll walk. My heart sunk. I had no idea that he would end up having 8 surgeries that year.
He hit me head on at 80 miles per hour. When the police got there, I was pronounced dead without a pulse for almost an hour. When they pulled the car off of me, I took a gasp. I started breathing again. When I left the hospital, I was told that I'd never be able to have children, and they're not sure if I'd be able to walk again.
Trapped in a house with a man who abused me for 6 months.
I walked in and he was just on the floor. I just think it's crazy walking in on your stepfather shooting himself at 12 on your birthday.
To realize that I may never perform music again, I was almost more sad about that than having cancer itself.
And this is who you are, more constant than the stars up in the sky. All these years of our lives,
I changed my attitude. I said, I'm going to give this to God and I'm going to allow people into my life to help me. I can't do this alone.
I believe that God is a great physician. Even when they said I'd never have children again, I just didn't believe it. I'm walking, I'm running, and I have a child.
I've won, and I've lost. I got it right sometimes, but sometimes I did not. Life's been a journey, seen joy. Great.
be because God is with me.
There's no way I could have got through all this just by myself.
I knew he was there, and as he rebuilt me, I regained all that I had lost without the arrogance.
I see how his hand has shielded me, and there's a purpose in that. Every day I'm living out that purpose.
Everyone been through difficult time. I can do anything through Christ who strengthened me.
He's alive. Anyone who sees him thinks he's a miracle.
3.5.
In every situation, there can be joy, there can be life. What I thought was a death sentence turned into be my story and my life. I've battled cancer 4 times. If I trust in him, I can do anything.
Thank you for listening to Pastor Sean Condren Office Radio, only at www.PastorSeanCondrenOffice.org/radio. I'm your DJ, Pastor Bob Huggins, live from our radio station tower in Cleveland, Tennessee. It's my pleasure to introduce you to a special upcoming guest artist, Van Mack, on Pastor Sean Condren Office Radio. Van is a contemporary gospel artist with a great message. We've showcased Van's songs in heavy rotation on our station. Now, you get an opportunity to hear that passion in Van's voice as he talks about how personal this project is to him. Van's sound has been making waves online with its uplifting and inspiring lyrics and composition, which has been reaching hearts and minds, connecting people together through music. Van's music, through the eyes of God, has been featured all over social media with multiple shares and likes, and has the definite potential to go even higher. Believe me, this music has some very passionate singles, including the title song, Through the Eyes of God, and I Believe, to more up-tempo cuts like Rock with Jesus and Jesus Loves. Be sure to download a copy of this music to feel the anointing that's radiating from this blessing from God. We will air his live interview on our radio station on Monday, November 25th, 2019, from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Don't forget to tune in. Again, thank you for listening to Pastor Sean Condren Office Radio, only at www.PastorSeanCondrenOffice.org/radio, with your DJ, Bob Huggins, live from our radio station tower in Cleveland, Tennessee.
That's why Carl got involved, so he can get hugs.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Great stuff. Great
I've
stuff.
I've never heard a better arrangement on that song. That is just
these gorgeous. Two, they're amazing. They're they absolutely are. Amazing. They've been, I don't know, how long you've been singing like that? I met them at 13 years old, and they wow. were singing that good already. It's just, it's scary, isn't it? Just, it ain't right.
I'm pretty angry about it, quite frankly.
You know what? Get to the rest of them.
He's God. He's God on the mountain, too. He's God in the valley. He's God on his throne. Hallelujah. Life is easy when you're up on the mountain. And you've got peace of mind like you've never known. Then things change and you're down in the valley. Don't lose faith, for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. He's seen when things go wrong. He'll make God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night. You talk of faith when you're up on the mountain. Oh, but the talk comes so easy when life at its best, but it's down in the valley of trials and temptation. That's when faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, child. He's high and lifted up.
For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, it don't trouble him. He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the land times. The God of the day still God in the night. The God of the day is still God in the night. Woo, I tell you, it's good to be here tonight. I'm telling you, He's exalted tonight, and he just meets with his folk when we brag on him. Amen. A blessing to be here, ain't it, Mr. Rubin?
Here, all right. You go ahead. I'll try to explain Peg to you. You want me to do that? She's happy in the Lord.
Straight and narrow, but leads to a better home. It was laid by Christ one day at Calvary while he suffered all alone. Now this road may lead over many high mountains and valleys dark and low, but I walk each day with sweet assurance that I'll safely reach my goal. Ahead, there is joy and gladness and rest for my weary soul.
How many of you believe that?
Ahead, there is peace and contentment. Everybody will be happy and whole.
You know that
I'll be at home with Jesus,
where
tears will never be shed. Though so often this road gets rough and rocky, still I know.
I'm not worried about what the future holds, just as long as I know that the same one that's holding my future is holding my hand.
While on this road I get so weary, and often my feet would stray, but a gentle hand still leads me onward and helps me to find my way. As I climb each hill and cross each valley by his hand, I'm daily led, and I won't look back. I'm gonna keep right on the walking, all I know will lies ahead. And ahead, there is joy and gladness.
How many of you looking forward to that?
Ahead,
there is peace, and
everybody will be happy at home. You know that this road gets rough and rocky, still I know what lies ahead. Though so often this road
it gets
rough and rocky,
still I know what lies ahead. I already know what lies ahead. As I foresaid, worried about what the future holds, because I know that who's leading me, his name is Jesus.
Y'all said it was all right if we had church here tonight. I want to sing just a little bit more of that. I want to sing it the way that the old folk told me that they used to sing it a long time ago. Before we got all of the instruments and everything, they would say,
ahead, there's joy and gladness and rest for my weary soul.
Ahead,
there
is peace
and contentment. And everybody will be happy and whole.
You know that I'll be
at home with Jesus.
Where shed tears. God said he'd wipe all tears from our eyes. Though so often this road gets rough and rocky, still I know what lies ahead.
Wait a minute. Now while on this road I get so weary, and often my feet would stray, but a gentle hand still leads me onward and helps me to find my way. As I climb each hill and I cross each valley by his hand, I'm daily led. And I won't look back, I'm gonna keep right on walking, cause I know what lies ahead. And ahead,
ahead
there is joy and a gladness and rest.
How many of you are looking forward to that?
Ahead,
ahead
there is peace and
contentment. Everybody will be happy and whole.
You know that
I'll be
at home with Jesus,
where tears will never be shed.
Though so often this road gets rough and rocky, still I know what lies ahead.
Though so often this road gets rough and rocky,
still I know.
Pastor Sean Condren, Office Employment. We are an equal opportunity employer. If you're looking for a job in radio, we may have just the fit for you. You can email us here at our radio station. The email address is radio@pastorseancondrenoffice.org for more details.
The tears of loneliness. the floodgates of my heart. Such sweet memories mixed with emptiness. Wish I could stop them where they start and fly. Second takes a million years. Why must this love feel so strong? I've been so weary of all these tears. Please, Father, where did I go wrong? I want to.
Just heard this week's sermon by Pastor Bob Huggins. Thank you for listening to Pastor Sean Condren Office Radio, Christian Talk and Christian Music Radio, live 24/7, only at www.pastorseancondrenoffice.org/radio. Thank you for listening to your evening worship service, only at www.pastorseancondrenoffice.org.